Today's scripture reading is taken from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Yeah, blessed morning, my brothers and sisters. I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to give thanks to God for the completion of our Missions in Focus month sermon series, during which the guest speakers have exhorted us on what it means for us to participate in God's missional purposes all around the world, and through their testimonies, encourage us to press on in this mission. With the completion of Missions Month, we are resuming our sermon and Bible study series on the Gospel of John, and we will complete the series by the time of our anniversary service. And since we are resuming a sermon series, let us try to recall the context. Chapters 14 to 17 is also known as the farewell discourse. To prepare his disciples for his leaving, Jesus gave final instructions to his disciples and also promised them the coming of the Holy Spirit. And today we shall look at the continuation of the farewell discourse, focusing on chapter 15. Let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we give thanks to you for your word during Missions Month that exhorts us to join you in your purposes. May your Holy Spirit continue to keep our hearts open to your word as we resume the series on John's Gospel, so that we will press on evermore to grow in Christ. For we pray this in his name. Amen. I recall that during my secondary school days, there was a CCA known as Gardening Club. How many of you joined Gardening Club? Just one? Is it one? Yeah, maybe the rest might have joined the Gardening Club before, maybe at the next service. They were responsible for taking care of the potted plants, which would be used to decorate the school compound on speech day. on National Day and on major events. It was something that needed to be done. But for me, it was boring. Don't you find it boring? I'm so sorry. Those of you who joined the gardening club, I think after that you want to throw dirt and throw soil at me. I'd rather join the library. I'd rather be a school librarian. It was equally boring, but at least it's air conditioned. But maybe at the end of this service, the school librarians want to throw books at me. Don't do that. There was hardly any student in gardening club. And I salute those who joined gardening club. However, the teacher in charge was the disciplinary mistress. And she got all the latecomers to report to the gardener to help her. And to make it worse, she was our English teacher. And she did something that should not be done. And if you try to do it now, here and now, the parents will write complaint letters to MOE. What she did was to roster all of us in the English class into a duty roster. And all of us must report to the garden to help her. And so on the day that my classmates and I reported to the garden, not because I was late, but because I was in the English class, we just wanted to get it done and over with because we were forced to do this and we couldn't stand the pungent smell up close and personal with the fertilizer. And so as we were about to go off, she called us back and she wanted us to repeat the whole process. Why? Because in our rush, we just scattered the fertilizer and then wanted to rush off. And the fertilizer landed not in the soil, but on the leaves. And she was very angry. She called us back to repeat the whole process and to spray water onto the leaves so that the fertilizer will flow down to the soil. It will be easier to do it properly from the start. So what is the point? The point is not that the pastor was an irresponsible student. That is not the point. The point is that leaves do not grow because they have fertilizers on them. Leaves grow because they are connected to the branches. Branches grow because they're connected to the stem. The stem grows because it's connected to the roots. The roots grow because it's connected to the nutrients in the soil. The point is that the plant grows because every single part abiding in one another, remaining in one another, connected to one another. This is the point and the principle of abiding. And so today's passage, we shall see what it means for us to live our lives here and now by abiding in Christ, remaining in Christ, connected to Christ. The first thing that we shall see is that we are to abide in Christ for fruitfulness. And it is written in verses 4 to 5. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The vine in the vineyard would be a familiar sight to Jesus' original audience. Branches can only bear fruit because they are connected to the vine. Because by connected to the vine, the life of the vine and the nutrients can flow to the branches to bring about fruitfulness. And so Jesus used that familiar sight as a symbolism to describe God as the vine dresser, he himself as the true vine, and the disciples as branches. And so the basic point is this, that we bear fruit only when we abide in Christ, just as branches can only bear fruit if they abide in the vine. However, we need to go way beyond that basic point, because there's a far deeper Christological point that Jesus was trying to make. In the Old Testament, the vine and the vineyard are important symbols representing Israel, the people of God. Whenever the people were in right relationship with God, the vine was described as fruitful. But whenever the people were in a wrong relationship with God, the vine will be described as unfruitful, barren. So in the Old Testament, the vine, the vineyard, will be considered important symbols representing Israel, the people of God. And with that Old Testament symbolism in mind, we see here there is a shift in the symbolism in chapter 15 of John's Gospel. Because in John chapter 15, God's people are no longer the vine. Instead, Christ described himself as the true vine. You see that? Christ described himself as the true vine in God's vineyard, and that God's people are branches instead. Branches that must abide in the vine. In other words, Jesus was making a Christological point, an important point, and we must get this point. If we don't get this point, we miss the gist, the crux of what Jesus is trying to say. When Jesus said that he is the true vine, it means that he fulfills all that God intends for his people, and that God's people, as they abide in him, they also fulfill their true identity, their true purpose as God's people, only in and through Christ, who is the true vine. And by now we arrive at the seventh and final I am sayings of Jesus. In Christ, who is the bread of life, we are free from spiritual hunger. In Christ, who is the light of the world, we are free from spiritual darkness. In Christ, who is the door and the good shepherd, we are free from spiritual danger. And in Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, we are free from spiritual death. In Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, we are free from spiritual lostness. And in Christ, who is the true vine, we are free from spiritual unfruitfulness. Therefore, the first spiritual principle that we are looking at is that the product of abiding in Christ is fruitfulness. So how does it look like for us to abide in Christ for fruitfulness? In the Protestant circles, there are many denominational traditions that express the shape of the Christian life. For us Presbyterians in the Reformed tradition, we have a theological richness that expresses the shape of how our life should look like, on how it looks like to abide in Christ. Reformed spirituality is rooted in what John Calvin described as union and communion with Christ. This is an important principle in the Reformed tradition to express Reformed spirituality. Union and communion with Christ. Because it is only with union with Christ that all benefits of God flows to us. And you're welcome to attend the Presbyterian Distinctive Talk on this coming Saturday, because there are many things about our theological richness that can be unpacked, and that talk is on this coming Saturday. After the anniversary service, we will have a theological sermon series, the Bible study series on Presbyterian distinctives, through which we will unpack the richness of our Reformed tradition, including what it means to have union and communion with Christ. But it is sufficient to say at this point that even in our daily lives, we intuitively understand the importance of abiding, of remaining, and of being connected. For me, I stay in different parts of the island, but the east is a no man's land. I always find myself having to turn on the GPS when I need to visit people in the east, when I need to go to the east for whatever purpose. And just the other day, I was driving on the expressway, entered the MCE tunnel, and the worst thing that could happen in the tunnel happened. Because the phone just said, GPS signal lost. And I was in the midst of that MCE, wondering where should I exit? Because if I exited the wrong place, it would be a big loop. I find myself lost again. I was no longer abiding, remaining, connected to the mobile signal in the tunnel. But our lives do not need to turn out this way, because God has provided all means of grace for us to abide in Him, to remain in Him, and to be connected to Him. From the richness of our Reformed tradition, the Westminster Shorter Catechism asked in question 88, what are the outward and ordinary means by which Christ imparts to us the benefits of redemption? And the answer, the outward and ordinary means by which Christ imparts to us the benefits of redemption are His ordinances, especially the Word, the sacraments, and prayer. All of these are made effectual to His chosen ones for salvation. The Catechism's emphasis on the Word, the sacraments, and prayer essentially boils down to the importance of public worship, of our worship life as we gather in such a manner. Because in the public worship of the church, the Word, the sacraments, and the prayers all converge to nourish the spiritual life of God's people. Every week, we monitor the on-site and online numbers. On average, we have about 80% on-site, about 20% online. And for seekers who are connecting with us online, we welcome you to visit us here in PSPC and to experience the church in a way that will not be possible if you just attune and connect with us through the online service. And we look forward to welcome you. We will continue to keep the live stream service on because it is a way for us to minister to those who are sick, who are homebound, their caregivers, and those who are traveling. And we want to encourage the rest of the congregation to the extent that you are able to join us on site to experience church life and public worship in a way that will be missing when we just connect with us through the online service. So ponder a bit more about how we respond to God's word, how we observe the sacraments, and how we continue in our prayer life. Because the corporate worship is the chief means of God's grace for us to nourish the spiritual life of God's people. The product of abiding in Christ is fruitfulness. So let us abide in Christ for a fruitful life. The second thing that we shall see is that we are to abide in Christ through obedience. For it is written in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And by now, with a closer reading of this passage, we can see a further development in the principle of abiding. Earlier on in verse 4, Christ said, abide in me and I in you. And here in verse 7, he went on to say, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Do you see that? A further development of the principle of abiding. And so if the first principle is that the product of abiding in Christ is fruitfulness, then the second principle is that the pathway of fruitfulness in Christ is obedience. Obedience to the words of Christ. In other words, when we abide in Christ through obedience, we are pruned. We are pruned for God-pleasing life. According to vineyard owners, pruning will be considered an important phase of that whole process that would determine the fruitfulness of the vine and the quality of the harvest. Consider how one vineyard owner explained this process. Pruning is also an ancient work. where experience is essential to understand the vigor of each vine in order to give the correct shape to the branches and to balance the future fruit production and vegetative growth. It is also crucial to reach excellent grape quality because it will influence grapes' ripening and the concentration of flavors and microelements into the berries. Vineyard owners take it seriously because without pruning, the next harvest will be affected. This analogy of pruning shows us that our response to God's word should deal with those areas of our lives to eradicate unfruitfulness on one hand and to enhance fruitfulness on the other hand. And obedience is the pathway of fruitfulness. Because when we look at verses 7 to 8, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Pay attention to this passage because we realize that when we abide in Christ through obedience, we will be pruned for a God-pleasing life and we will be postured for God-pleasing prayers. The connection is that only a God-pleasing life can pray God-pleasing prayers. And God-pleasing prayers will be answered by God. In other words, there is no way for us to be fruitful if God does not answer our prayers. Simple as that. As profound as that. As straightforward as that. Only a God-pleasing life will be able to pray God-pleasing prayers. And that is why the product of abiding in Christ is fruitfulness, and the pathway of fruitfulness in Christ is obedience. And how does it look like for us to abide in Christ through obedience? There have been a few hot mic incidents overseas and also more recently in Singapore Parliament. A hot mic incident would be an incident whereby remarks that were meant to be private would be accidentally amplified because the mic was turned on. Hot mic incident. And because all these private thoughts were spoken, which was not meant to be spoken, it would lead to all kinds of reaction. From public backlash to diplomatic embarrassment. But regardless of our reactions to these hot mic incidents, think about it this way. All of us, every one of us, is on a hot mic as well. Not just because I'm speaking into the mic, I'm a hot mic, but every one of us is on a hot mic. Where every single word of our tongue, whether spoken or unspoken, every single thought of our mind, every attitude of our hearts, all known by God. All known by God. And that should be sobering for us. Because regardless of our social standing, regardless of our public persona, regardless of our reputation, we realize that not everything goes on inside us can measure up to God's word. We know that ourselves because each and every one of us is on hot mic, so to speak. But that's exactly where the point of application comes. When we abide in Christ through obedience, we allow God's word to be that mirror that shows us the areas of our lives that needs to be eradicated because it will lead to unfruitfulness, and the areas of our lives that need to be enhanced for fruitfulness. Because God's word prunes us. And the principle of abiding in Christ for fruitfulness through obedience is also expressed by the words of another Christian writer, Richard Foster. He wrote these words in the book Money, Sex and Power, a classic for spiritual formation. He wrote these words: "The vow of service within the individual begins and ends with obedience to the ways of God. Until the matter of our obedience is settled, we cannot be useful to others, for we will constantly be bringing to that relationship our own agenda, our own opinion, our own human manipulative ways." So until and unless we are pruned for God-pleasing life and are postured for God-pleasing prayers, there is no way that we can bear spiritual fruit. Because the pathway of fruitfulness in Christ is obedience. Let us go forth to abide in Christ for a life of obedience. The third thing that we shall see is that we are to abide in Christ with love. For it is written in verses 9 to 10, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. For if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." By now, you see the pattern. Some of us begin to see a pattern. There is a further development in the principle of abiding. Firstly, we are to abide in Christ. Christ abide in us. Secondly, we abide in Christ. Christ's words abide in us. Thirdly, we abide in Christ. Christ's love abides in us. And what happens when Christ's love abides in us? A few years ago, there was a driver driving along the PIE, and he looked beside, there was a taxi. The taxi was driving in and out of the lane, unsteady. And he looked closely and realized that the taxi driver had lost consciousness. And the taxi was just swerving left and right, dangerously, on the PIE. And there was a passenger at the back seat, and she was screaming at the top of her voice. And you can imagine how scary that would be. You cannot control the vehicle because the taxi driver had lost consciousness, and all that she could do was to scream. It was worse than roller coaster. You think about that. Very dangerous. And what the driver did would be something that was considered unthinkable. He drove in front of the taxi and slowed down and let the taxi bang him from behind and use his own car to slow the taxi to a stop. And the driver had done what most people would not do. And the point is that we are called to go even beyond that. Why? How? Because when Christ's love abides in us, he exhorts us in verses 12 to 13. "This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." In other words, when Christ's love abides in us, we become a channel of love to others. We become a channel of love to others. Conversely, when we realize that our love for others have gone cold, perhaps it's because our experience of God's love has gone cold. And if our experience of God's love has gone cold, perhaps it is because we are not abiding in Christ as we should. You see the connection? It all makes sense. Straightforward, yet profound. Therefore, if the product of abiding in Christ is fruitfulness, and the pathway of fruitfulness in Christ is obedience, then the proof of obedience to Christ is love. And this is the principle that I commend to us of what it means for us to abide in Christ for a life of fruitfulness, obedience, and love. How does it look like for us to abide in Christ with love? A few months ago, it was reported there was a new Korean series on Netflix. But Korean drama fans will be disappointed because this will not be your typical drama series. In fact, it is considered quite sobering because it is entitled In the Name of God, a Holy Betrayer. The documentary featured four Korean cult groups, including the infamous Jesus Morning Star Church that came under the media spotlight earlier this year. The production team interviewed many former members who were part of these cult groups to document the sexual and financial exploitations that were done in the name of God. In this world that we live in, many people can claim many things in the name of God. But if we understand that the product of abiding in Christ is fruitfulness, and the pathway of fruitfulness in Christ is obedience, and the proof of obedience to Christ is love, then we realize that we have a framework of how to live in this world. We have spiritual principles on how to live in this world. St. Augustine once said, "Love has hands to help others. It has feet to hasten to the poor and needy. It has eyes to see the misery and want. It has ears to hear the sigh and sorrows of men. This is what love looks like." So if the proof of obedience to Christ is love, and this is how love looks like according to Augustine, then it is unfortunate that in this world that we live in this fast-paced world, in this hectic world, we often run out of time, we run out of energy to be aware of people's needs and to respond to people's needs because the world rushes on. And who cares about what's happening to my neighbor, to my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, or even to my own family? But if we believe that the great commandment and the great commission are the hallmarks of the Christian faith, then we will realize that the only way we can fulfill the anniversary theme, which involves continuing the mission, the only way for us to continue the mission is to fulfill the greatest commandment by loving God and loving one another. So today is God speaking to us about our relationship with people in our lives, in your life, in your family, in your school, in your workplaces, and in the church. Are there people in need that God has brought to your mind? Are there practical acts of love that you can do? And not to postpone it, but do it today. Because in the world that we live in, we keep postponing because we run out of time, we run out of energy, and all this get pushed further and further from the back of our mind. The product of abiding in Christ is fruitfulness. The pathway of fruitfulness in Christ is obedience, and the proof of obedience to Christ is love. So let us abide in Christ for a life of fruitfulness, for a life of obedience, for a life of love. Once there was a man by the name of Nicholas Herman. Nicholas Herman was like any one of us. But in fact, most of us will find our life circumstances far better than his. Because Nicholas Herman, his family was poor. He had limited education. He did not have much career choices other than to join the army. Unfortunately, he was injured in battle. He was discharged from the army. And the horrors of war affected him very badly. So much so that he wanted to find deeper meanings in life through the Christian faith. At one occasion, he saw a tree that seemed to be dry and lifeless in the dead of winter. But he suddenly realized that when spring comes, the leaves will grow, the branches will flourish. Because when spring comes, everything comes back to life. And what seemed to be dry and lifeless is just an outward appearance. And what made the branches bear fruit would not be their self-reliance or something that they could produce in and of themselves. The branches could bear fruit because they are connected, they are rooted in something bigger than themselves. Branches connected to stem, stem connected to roots, roots connected to the soil. That spiritual encounter led Nicholas Hermann to realize what it means to abide in Christ. And so he wrote in his journal that he imagined himself like a tree, waiting for the life that God would bring in season. That spiritual breakthrough, after that occasion of the spiritual breakthrough, Nicholas Hermann joined a religious order. Yet despite coming from a poor family, despite limited education, despite his injury, his constant abiding in Christ led to a life of fruitful service, a life of remarkable contribution. After his death, his spiritual experiences were compiled into a book. And for more than 300 years, that book continues to be a spiritual classic on what it means to abide in Christ. We may not be familiar with Nicholas Hermann because he was better known as Brother Lawrence. And the book that was compiled that documented his spiritual experiences was a spiritual classic entitled The Practice of the Presence of God. He realized that he could abide in Christ even when he was working in the kitchen. For he once said, "The time of business does not, with me, differ from the time of prayer. And in the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were upon my knees." We ought not to be weary of doing little things for the love of God, who regards not the greatness of the work, but the love with which it is performed. That, my brothers and sisters, is how it looks like when we abide in Christ. For a life of fruitfulness, for a life of obedience, for a life of love. Amen. Let us all stand as we respond to God. My brothers and sisters,